Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah, this is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. You wanna be real. You wanna be emptied inside. And I know my heart is to feel you near. And I know my life is to do your will. Is to do your will. This is my desire.
And we're going to be talking to Tom Hauser and Mike Thornton about the Wilmington Unite event that's happening in Carolina Beach. It's going to be an awesome event. You know, they're going to be going on for 10 days. The Lord is going to be revealing different, you know, things to them. And it's going to be like a great revival, and everybody's looking forward to it. How you doing, Tom and Mike?
Yeah, we're doing well. Thank you, Stan. And guys, it's been really good to be part of. I'm just excited to tell you about what's coming on.
Yeah, super excited, man. So glad you guys have us on the show.
It's going to be awesome. And host Chris Crutchfield, he's here today. How's it going, Chris?
It's going good. I'm expecting to see revival and fire and the glory of God move in the city.
It's gonna be
he's
awesome.
Going to move anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Now, Tom, how did this, well, I'm going to ask Mike, how did this get started about this Wilmington Unite?
about 9 months ago, praying one morning, and we were actually looking to set our tent up in Kinston, but it just seemed the timing wasn't right. So the Lord was like, you know, I want you to sit up here in Wilmington. It's time. And I thought, wow. And I said, okay, Lord. And I said, well, what does this look like? What do you want to do? And he specifically told me 10 days. I want you to gather the people for 10 days. And the backstory is that Sunday at our church, we had two guys come down from Massachusetts. And they have a powerful ministry called 10 Days Uniting Cities with Jesus at the Center. And they do 10-day gatherings in New England and Boston and everything. We just connected, had the same heart of unity for revival and for the city. And in prayer that next morning, the Lord reminded me of that conversation. He said, I want you to merge the DNA of the 10 days of what they do up there in New England in the north with what you've been doing down here in the Carolinas, and do 10 days 24/7 or 24/10 rather. That's kind of how it got started.
That's awesome. Now, what was the history behind this? I remember y'all saying there was a history behind this, that a revival happened in the same area back maybe, what was it, in the 1800s or something like that?
Yeah, in the early days, well, there was definitely one in 1908. And in 1908, there was actually a tent meeting where just the Holy Spirit broke out. It was when the Pentecostal movement was being poured out. That guy, G.B. Cashwell, and a Baptist minister named Beckham were doing tent revivals, and the fire of God was coming down, and angels were coming into the meetings. It was really supernatural. And so we know that Wilmington has been visited with something like this before. And so, yeah, that's pretty exciting.
That's awesome. Now, Tom, how did you get involved in? I know you're the head minister of Remox Church, but how did he break this news to you about this event?
Well, it was interesting. Back, you know, we've been praying for. I've been here at the church for, this is my 17th year. It's probably about 12 years ago. We just started praying. Some nights we'd go all night prayer, not knowing a lot about the history locally of the revivals. We just felt like, Lord, we just need to pray. And so the way it kind of came about, I think it was about 12 years ago, we gathered, we just put the word out, we're going to do an all-night night of prayer and ask God to just come and touch southeastern North Carolina. We want to see more of it come. We had actually done some church in the park. We went to Hugh McCrae Park, which was one of the historians in the area had given this property over, and it became a park here in Wilmington. And we would meet there with our Spanish and African-American and just do worship in open air in the park and just declare God would come. Well, we did an all-night prayer, and as we got ready to start, about 200 people showed up at the church one night, and the Spanish pastor came up and said, are you aware of the prophecies back in about southeastern North Carolina that happened with Derek Prince in 1975 and Dr. Woodhouse from Full Gospel Businessmen? Said, no, I don't know any of that. He said, and we pulled out a letter that had documented two meetings. One that had taken place at the Deliverance Tabernacle, I think it was, in Jacksonville in 1975. It was April of 75. And Derek Prince was there. It was one of the first times there was a gathering of black and white in worship. And anyway, Derek Prince stood up, and the prophecy went something like this, pretty close. It said, I feel like the Lord says, I found favor with you here in southeastern North Carolina, that it is going to be a visitation that's going to be greater than the Welsh revival that took place, and kings and queens are going to come study the phenomenon. And I said, well, that's interesting. And he says, are you also aware that 4 months later, there was a Dr. Woodhouse came to North Carolina, and he prophesied at the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, very similar word. And he said there were people in both of those meetings, and they confirmed that Derek Prince didn't know Woodhouse's prophecy or vice versa. So I just stood up in the meeting at this all-night prayer meeting. I said, well, let me stop here. Were there any people that were in those meetings in 1975? And six gray hairs raised their hands. I said, well, get up here. Y'all need to get up here. You've been pulling on this chain. And so we had them lay hands on, I think there were 9 or 12 pastors, if my memory's right. and a number of intercessors, and we just started praying that God would move on that prophecy. You know, the book of Amos says he doesn't do anything unless he tells the prophets first. And so we just said, well, that's been put out there. So we just started praying. And for, man, the last 12 or so years, there's been ongoing times of revival, connection, prayer times, wanting God to show in ways. And then Mike Thornton, we were in a tent in, I think it was in
Mount Olive.
Yeah. We set up a 5,000-person tent in Mount Olive, and it was the first time I think I met Mike. He was in the tent, and I just felt one of my guys who's run with me in a lot of the national overseas trips we've made to do missions, we just got this unction. That young man needs to go with us on a mission trip to Tanzania. So didn't know anything about him, went over and just kind of accosted him, told him, I think the Lord wants you to go with us. And at the same time, one of our ladies who's a real intercessor had taken his wife, Amber, aside, Mike's wife aside, and said, you know, just want you to know your husband's going to be invited to go on a mission trip to Africa. And we hadn't concocted this at all. It was just, anyway, long story short, Mike ended up going on a mission trip with us to Tanzania with Leif Hetland's ministry. We saw amazing signs and wonders. The blind saw, the deaf heard, the lame walked. The demonized were set free. And we just started having some connections. And so a few years after that, Mike and Amber, his wife, had finished Bible college at Regent and just felt like, man, that young man, we need to grab a hold of him. So we just invited him down through a series of events. They came on staff here, and we just released Mike and said, look, I went to my board, and, you know, like most churches, you don't have any extra money laying around. You give it all away. And so we just said, but you know what? We want Pastor Mike Thornton to go around, and even in the small country churches, wherever the Lord needs him to go, just light fires. Well, in the meantime, he found out he had bloodlines back through these revivalists in southeastern North Carolina and wrote the book, The Fire in the Carolinas. So it's been an ongoing process of seeing God just supernaturally move. And we just feel like this is the next door the Lord's opening, and we're just trying to walk through it.
That's awesome. Now, have there been any supernatural things that's been going behind this thing as time's been going on before this event started or get ready to start?
Yeah, I think there's been some crazy just storylines. I'll just share one of these powerful storylines. After he got the word to really do it, I just started asking the Lord, okay, well, where do you want to put it? I don't know. There's a lot of places in Wilmington. Where do you want this at? And I prayed that, and 2 days later, I get a website inquiry from a guy I don't know. He's a chiropractor, a doctor in town, and said, hey, I've been following your blog, and I feel like I had a vision on my way to work, and I feel like I need to meet with you and tell you about it. So we ended up meeting, and for the first time, I never knew him, and he'd shared with me the vision. And he said, I saw all these worship teams coming in around Legion Stadium, which is on off Carolina Beach Road, really well-known place. And he goes, I just saw worship going up and miracles and glory coming down. So after that meeting, that was my sign. Man, God wants this thing at Legion Stadium. So the next day, I was at Legion Stadium and met with the director. Of course, he said, absolutely not. You can't put a tent in the stadium because we just laid new AstroTurf. So he said, but the armory is right next door. We kind of share a joint of property. And they have a little lot right there next to the stadium, right off the main road. He said, you could go ask them. And I was kind of discouraged a little bit. I was like, man, maybe I didn't hear the Lord on this. And so I ended up leaving, and I came back to the church. And I had my cell phone in my hand, and I remember asking God, if you want this tent somewhere in that property or that vicinity, on that state, wherever, I said, then you have to confirm this. No longer did I pray that prayer. In my hand, my phone rang. It literally rang. And it was a young girl who her father-in-law is a pastor that we know here in Wilmington. He's a black pastor. And she said, she's never caught me. I've only spoken to her once in my whole life. And she called me out of the clear blue and said, Mike, I need to tell you something. I said, what is it? She said, 3 days ago I was praying and I had a vision. And this is what I saw. I saw the footprint of Jesus step over the city of Wilmington, and he spoke to me very clearly and said that this was the year for the city's restoration, and that he wanted to pull down every idol in the city, and that he wanted to come, just his presence to come. And she said, it ended, she said, I saw your face, and God said, call Mike Thornton, he'll know what to do. So as I'm praying on my phone, confirmation, do we have this over at this site? And their church, by the way, is right behind that site. So I just knew it was. So I got up with the Armory, and again, long story short, we had supernatural favor, and the gunnery sergeant out of Fayetteville has let us use the land for free. The actual federal government drew up the contract and just gave us the land for not only 10, but actually 12 days. So I felt like there's some of the cool supernatural stuff happening. The other one I'll share real quick is as we've been plugging along, we're noticing that on this meeting what's been different is the local government actually got a contact from the mayor's office that they had heard about it and that the mayor of Wilmington was excited about it. And so we have now confirmed that he is coming into opening night, and we're going to try to get him somehow to do the communion with us for the citywide communion that first night. How cool would it be to have the mayor help participate in the communion over a city? And so we just feel a whole opening, too, with the local government. So we just feel God is moving, man.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Let me just make a comment also. It looks like the Lord is connecting the West Coast and the East Coast together, and on top of that, with Charleston, South Carolina. You know what happened in Charleston there and how the Lord is just – anyway. What happened recently was Mike and a couple of the other guys, his dad and Mike Hogan, went out and met with the guys who are part of Azusa Street, the Call Azusa Street. And Azusa Street's where the revival took place with – Seymour back in, is it 1904?
1906.
And which is what the inspiration for Cashwell and Crumpler to come back here and start the revivals in southeastern North Carolina, which, you know, is the result of birthing a lot of the holiness movement and the Pentecostal movements. And so, anyway, we got Fred Berry is coming into town. Mike, why don't you tell the story of Azusa Street? And Fred's coming in. He's going to their opening night, September 13th at the tent, and so we just see that connection.
In the middle of this thing, guys, a couple weeks ago, the Lord had already begun stirring our hearts even for the future next year, next April. And if you guys are familiar with the guy Lou Engel who does the Call movements, the Lord had put in his heart to do the Call of Azusa Street. Well, what's crazy is we had a vision and prayer about taking our tent from the Carolinas and pitching it on 312 Azusa Street as kind of a pre-call rally and doing a 110-hour worship and prayer burn leading up to the call in the stadium next April, which they're gathering 120,000 people. And why 110? Because it's going to be the 110th anniversary of Azusa Street, April the 9th, 1906. And William Seymour himself prophesied that over 100 years or so later, there would come another revival that would far eclipse the Azusa Street revival. So we had a dream to go over there. We acted on it. And me and a few guys, we met Lou Engel at his house. That led us to meeting Pastor Fred Berry while we were over there. Fred Berry's an African-American pastor that's over the Azusa Street property and the ministry, the mission itself. So we told him our story. He agreed. He's like, look, bring your tent from the Carolinas. We'll set it up here next April, because we felt that the Lord was saying if we merge the Azusa East North Carolina teams with the West Coast California teams, it would unlock the well in America for what God wanted to do. Fred Berry was so moved by this black pastor, he says, I'm coming to Wilmington. So he's flying in for Ignite Wilmington that first night to really help us, stir us up, and I believe call into order what God wants to do, not only in Wilmington, but all the way over to the West Coast.
Yeah, because part of one of the prophetic things that's come out, some of the words that have been spoken, is the fire would begin on the East Coast, and it would then spread to the West Coast. And if you recall, one of the histories, Mike, you can fill me in on this, the Carolinas used to run from East Coast to West Coast. And so it used to be all one contiguous thing, you know, a couple hundred years ago. And so we just feel like the Lord is about to do so. And then we found out there's a revival tent being set up in Charleston as well that's starting on September 12th and running in conjunction. So Lord's up to something. It's, you know, prophetically what's coming on. It's the end of one year and beginning of the Jubilee year. I believe it starts September 13th with the start of that, and it'll run for the next year. So there's biblically there's some connections that we weren't even aware of as well. So when Rosh Hashanah begins on September, the evening of September 13th, and it runs through, and so it's the seventh cycle of the 7 years, which ends up in the Jubilee. So, and we know what Deuteronomy 15 talks about, the Shemitah years, which is the year of release, the release of debts. So I don't know what the Lord's up to, but it feels a stirring. There's a stirring in our soul.
Amen. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, man, this just excites me. Just everything's God's doing, just the outside looking in. There's being connections, and it just seems like the body of Christ is unifying. Mm-hmm. And it just blesses me to hear how he's doing it. And just being recognizing when he's speaking, like, Mike, these stories are just blessing me, you know. It's encouraging to just see how the Lord speaks and how you recognize it. And it's, I mean, that just speaks volumes to my heart, being able to hear him like that. But, yeah, so tell us more.
Well, the number of teams that are coming together, it's really starting to get exciting. I think we're up over 40, right? They got,
yeah.
Remember, it's 10 days, 24/7 of worship and prayer. On the 19th, which is that Saturday, so it starts the 13th, but the following Saturday, it looks like, even though the mayor wants to be there as part of the kickoff on the 13th, Mike had in his heart, we ought to pull together at least some of the influential peaks in society, government and family and life. And so now it looks like Congressman David Rauser is coming. We have several Superior Court justices, the mayor, the chief of police, the sheriff, the sheriff's department lead. And so we're just going to gather, and we're going to do 10 hours of significant focused prayer over each of the peaks that Saturday morning. We'll begin at 8 a.m. on the 19th. And Mike, why don't you talk about what we found out the Governor McCrory is doing similarly this month?
Yeah, also, too, at the end of the month, Pat McCrory has called the Response North Carolina a Charlotte Convention. Is, I think, one of the first time in our state history that the governor has called the state to prayer. And some of the teams that are leading that are actually also coming into Wilmington to help us lead worship. And so that's a really awesome thing. I want to throw this also in there. One of the other things that God has been showing us, too, about that really releases his presence in these gatherings is feeding people. Now, I know it's like it can be a lot of work, but if the grace is on it and the people are there, it can really be one of the most powerful things. And that I want to mention two things. We're going to have big grills out every night for the 10 nights, and we're going to at least have hot dogs every night, maybe hamburgers also. Dinner style, we're going to throw on the grills around 6 p.m., 5 p.m., and serve everybody that's there every night. The first night that we kick off that Sunday night, the 13th, somebody just donated a whole pig. So we got a black pastor that wants to cook it. So we'll actually have we'll have some Carolina barbecue, family style, even opening night as we launch into this gathering, which is going to be awesome. On the 19th, that Saturday night, after we do the 10 hours of prayer, at 6 p.m., White Oak Community Church in Jacksonville, North Carolina, they're going to host a citywide free fish fry. And if you can believe this, they're coming with they've already caught the fish. They're coming with 1,000 pounds of spot, croakers, flounders, and mullets. And they're going to cook it all fresh, fried it right on the spot, and we're going to give out fish plates. For probably could be up to 5,000 people it could feed, all for free, as a love, as a kiss offering to the city of Wilmington.
That is amazing.
Amen.
And I feel like when that kind of love is released in the atmosphere, and that's been the theme for this whole thing, is just really loving the city, loving each other, and loving people. And I just believe it's a simple message. But when you raise up love, everything else has to fall down. And Pastor Tom was sharing it tonight in our church. People are just wanting to be loved. You know, people are just wanting to taste and see love. And our aim is just for 10 days to lift up the name of Jesus and express that love.
That's awesome. Now, there's something went on, you know, it was talking about closing the demonic door there. It was in Wilmington that the door was shut. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we, a year and a half ago, the Lord put in our hearts to do a Reverse the Curse prayer march. And in history in Wilmington, you know, it was the site of 1898, the race riots, overthrew the government, the Democratic Party at that time overthrew the government. They chased out a lot of African-Americans. It was just a black eye to the city and actually the South for many years, kind of launched segregation, the Jim Crow laws for 70 years, a lot of that pinpointed here. So there's always been a lot of unsettled and unspoken feelings about that movement even 100 years ago. So the Lord highlighted it to us to do a prayer march to gather pastors and churches, different denominations, racial groups, and to get the old map of where that mob marched and killed all those people and actually try to retrace those steps. But instead of anger and love, petition heaven, appeal to heaven for God to heal the city and release revival. And it became a huge success. Pastor Tom and Global River just really jumped on board and really helped back and anchor this thing that we were able to connect what they've been doing and a lot of other churches have been doing and plowing for so many years. We were just able to jump on that, and all of a sudden all these connections just fell right into place. We had like 1,500 people show up. After that gathering went down, after a few months, the Lord spoke in my heart, and the Lord said that that march literally closed the gate of the enemy. It closed the gate of Baal in this city, and they said, now it's time to open the port. I want to open the port of Wilmington. I want to walk through it. So I really feel like that prayer march was instrumental in that.
When you look at the spiritual side of this, one of the inspirations when the young girl from the Lord's Church gave Mike the prophetic word, she said there are 10 spirits in this city. And, you know, in the agreements, if you think about the way we behave, brings in agreement. You can have a murdering spirit, a racial spirit, drugs, trafficking. So there are fear. This whole area, at one time, the Cape Fear River was named the Jordan. And, you know, with the loss of all the ships, the hundreds and hundreds of ships that wrecked out there, the blockade runs, the slave ships that came in, and just some really horrible things. If you weren't sold at the market downtown in Wilmington, they were taken out and they were weighted down and the slaves were drowned. And so there's been a lot of spiritual dark agreements that have historically been here.
That's right.
And so the march was the start of, we need to bring and turn this defilement in the land. The Lord hates the defilements. The blood cries out. And so one of the scriptural references there, if you remember in Daniel chapter 10, when verse 12, it says, let's read it, it says, don't be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you began to pray for understanding to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. I've come to answer your prayer. For the 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, which is currently Iran, which might be interesting in another conversation with some of the agreements that are happening. The spirit prince over Persia, Iran, blocked my way, and Michael, one of the archangels, had to come and assist me, and the spirit prince of Persia. It goes on later in verse 20, it says, I need to now return to this fight against the spirit prince of Persia, and after that, I'm going to be engaged with the spirit prince over Greece. So we know biblically that there are spiritual entities, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6, right? We wrestle against principalities and powers. So in certain regions, you'll notice there's certain things that occur. So we've been in a 30-day fast. I just gathered our body together and a number of people from the city, and it turns out there's been a number of fasts going on in parallel that we weren't even aware of. We said, well, let's fast for 30 days, And we need to come against, let's not be foolish about this. We know that when you step out, you put up tents for revival to reclaim land, you engage in spiritual warfare. And so that's where we are. We're just gathering intercessors. We're praying. We fast, and we know what it says in Mark chapter 9. Remember when Jesus casts out the demon from a little boy, and the disciples who were unable to do it, he calls them faithless and perverse generation. How long did I need to put up with you? Later, back at the after-action report, the disciples ask him, so why couldn't we do it? He says, well, this kind. So there are different kinds. There are different levels consistent with Ephesians 6. This kind goes out, some of those translations, at least two of them say, gospel say, prayer and fasting. So we're engaged in both prayer and fasting to bring down the strong spiritual darkness over a region. And we're asking God to bring those things down so that the Lord can have this city. I've asked the Lord, I want to live in a city before I die where God rules and reigns. What would that look like? I mean, let's get a vision for that. What would it look like when hospitals are emptied and the bars shut down? And we saw it. The prostitute houses back in the 1900s were shut down. They turned into different places of blessing and outreaches. And so we're just going to believe that Derek Prince and Dr. Woodhouse had a promise. Wouldn't it be awesome for CNN and for Fox News to come ask, well, so you were there when the arm grew out and the eye socket? I've been in Brazil. I've seen these things happen there that are just, it's only explainable by supernatural moves of God. Wouldn't it be neat for them to have to come study, the kings and queens study the phenomenon of what God has done, and he gets all the glory? Our vision is the kingdom advances and God gets the glory. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Amen.
That's incredible.
That's awesome. Awesome to see all that. But I know, you know, if you go traveling to Carolina Beach, and if you're sensitive to the Spirit, you can tell the difference between, you know, between there and Southport and all that, how it feels around there. I know I went through Carolina, well, I actually stayed at Carolina Beach for a little while for a vacation. I went to the aquarium down there. And aquarium, you know, the government property there feels a little bit different than Carolina Beach. If you're sensitive to the Spirit, you can feel that. Then you go over to Southport, and it's just crazy over there. You can tell there's some type of war happening over there or something. It's like completely different. And I was like, somebody had been doing something here at Carolina Beach for the presence of God, you know, feeling like it, you know, feeling real strong around here. I mean, there's something, you know, these churches have been doing something around here, and that's before I knew about Global River Church. And
we've had visitors that drive down I-40. They come in for vacation, and they literally tell us, it feels lighter, man, when you pass in. It's like, and just to pick up what you said about Carolina Beach, you know, it's called Pleasure Island. And that's for what all the stuff that goes on there. But we've been asking the Lord to change it so that it's a pleasurable place for his presence. Mm. And so we've got a number of our staff that live there. We've got pastors down there that are praying. And so, yeah, we're asking God to do it. We know it's a big task in the natural, but in the Spirit, you know, God, why not now and why not here?
Yeah, he sure is working down there. I'm telling you, you could feel it down there that something's going on, and you know, during this 10 days, I'm pretty sure it's going to explode. I mean, the presence of God is going to be everywhere. You're going to be seeing all type of miracles happening around there, and that's what's very, you know, awesome when the presence of God comes over a city or anything like that. You know, you're expecting miracles, and you know, when you hear about these revivals and stuff, I mean, just tremendous things starts happening, and, you know, I can't wait to see what happens down there. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I was just at a meeting in Nashville. They have a group meeting of the network that we're part of, and they bring these revivalists from all the different networks together once a year, and we're just in Nashville. You had guys like Reinhard Bonnke, who's he's the Billy Graham of Africa. He's a citizen of the U.S. and German evangelist, and he's led something like 72 million Africans to the Lord, and I've seen the sea of people, literally 1.2 million at a time, make pledge cards in the meetings in Nigeria, and he's come and he said God is going to touch America. So he's been visiting different cities. He was in, was it Greensboro? Greensboro. And last year, and he was there. And then you had people like Heidi Baker from Africa, and she's planted over 10,000 churches there in people of another faith that said it couldn't be done. And anyway, she was there. Then you had John Arnott, part of the Toronto Blessing, the outpouring that took place in Canada back in, started in 1994 and went for 10 years. I think over 4 million people visited the Toronto Airport Vineyard at that time. And you had Leif Hetland and Bishop Joseph Garlington, who represent the African-American community. And anyway, there, Randy Clark, their heart, and Cheon, who's the Korean pastor out of L.A., their heart is to see America touched. We've traveled with many of them overseas, and we've seen God move supernaturally in the poorest of the poor and the broken, where there is no health care, and if God doesn't show up, they're going to die. And they come with a supernatural hunger, and God doesn't disappoint them. So we believe that the Lord's doing this. So they're sensing. Now you got guys like Lou Engel who are getting together with Chuck Pierce and Cheon from Bill Johnson, and they're going to do the call Azusa. And there's 120,000 coming together from on April 9th, that Saturday. Just an amazing testimony. I don't know if you want to share the testimony of what Lou stepped out in faith. And somebody, did he sell his house?
Go ahead.
Why don't you tell that?
Yeah. When we were over in California, we had a crazy meeting. And Chris, you know Nico. Nico, Michael, my father, we went to Lou Engel's house, of all places. And he sat in the living room and he shared with us crazy story. He said the Lord had really put in his heart to do the call of Zuzu, and he said he felt the Lord was wanting to do it in the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. It's where the Green Bay Packers first played their Super Bowl. And he says it's $1.2 million to rent that Coliseum for one day, because the call gathering, you know, is that one day. It's 10 hours for one day. He said, and we didn't have any kind of money for that. He said, so they prayed, and the Lord said they felt led to put their house up for sale. So he asked his wife, and they started talking the possibility of actually putting their house up for sale, Lou Engel's own house, so that they could rent it for one day and potentially be homeless. The problem with that was a lady bought him that house as a gift years ago and had paid his salary for 15 years. So he told us in the story he struggled with this, but he went to the lady and said, look, I feel God is telling me to sell my house and risk going homeless for a one-day payment on this Coliseum for one day to rent it. And the lady said, Lou, she said, this is God. You have to do it. And she said, listen, all my money's gone now. I've poured it all out for the kingdom, and now it's your turn to pour it all out. So he put his house up for sale, and a couple in Florida heard about the story, and they bought his house for $1.2 million, but then turned around and gave him the deed right back to it.
Wow.
Come on, man.
Yeah, come on. That's
pretty cool.
That's a test of the faith
that's
and a
cool.
test of the promises of God, right?
Wow. That's like Abraham and...
Come on, man, Isaac.
Yeah.
That's
exactly cool.
Right. Well, and then you kind of pick up on that. So that's going to go on. We're going to take the 10 out to L.A. We just hooked up with United Airlines, and we're going to fly 120 people out, and we'll set the 10 up at Azusa Street, and we'll go 2 days before the event and 2 days after the event. So April 5th through the 13th. So right smack dab, and there's 5,000 homeless right around the Azusa Street location. So we'll set up the tent. We'll end up doing ministry to the broken there. And just know that God's in it. Well, that's in April. So we're gonna connect the East and West Coast here during the Ignite Wilmington. That'll take place September 13th. Then we'll go out to Azusa Street Call in April. Then one of my spiritual dads, Randy Clark, over Global Awakening, he felt led to set up and he's getting together with 70 churches in Ohio, and they want to do Love Dayton, Ohio, on May 11th through the 14th. And so there are Revival Network leaders who are saying it's time for God to touch America. And you're seeing these events. They're coming together. It's kind of a groundswell. He's given enough of the supernatural push and unction. And so, you know, you hear all the doom and gloom and all the stuff that's going on. But I believe in the midst of judgment and trial and shaking is going to be tremendous revival. In fact, it may be the source of the revival.
I'm just reminded as y'all were talking about how the Lord gave Reinhard Bonnke the mandate for America, just like he did Africa, and had thousands upon thousands of people come to the Lord. And he said that he's been mandated for America. And as y'all been talking, I just say that America belongs to Jesus Christ.
And, yes, he does.
And it's
Amen.
Time for, it's time for reality to strike.
Yes.
It's awesome. I mean, it's country was built on Christian belief, and over the years, it's kind of fell away. And I really feel that we're coming back, and we're going to take it back again and bring Christ across the nation like y'all was talking about. And, you know, the people really needs the Lord right now. I mean, if you see all the stuff that's going on in our country right now, and even other countries feel sorry for our country for some of the things that goes on here. And we need Christ. We need Christ in our people. We need Christ in our government. We need a renewal. I mean, a complete renewal. And, you know, anytime you see bad things going on like it is, Christ is always coming in behind and starting to rework things and fix things. And that sometimes it takes things like this to open your eyes. Because a lot of times we're in slumber so long that it takes something drastic like this to open your eyes and say, hey, we need to go back to the Lord. What are we doing, you know? And some people will do it, and some people, you know, they fall down, but the Lord picks them up. But it's awesome that y'all are doing this. And I did hear about the guys from the Power and Love. They're coming to the event too, ain't they?
Yeah.
We have one of the guys is Bob Hazlett, and that travels with the Power and Love crew. Bob Hazlett is going to be with us on Wednesday and Thursday.
That's the 16th and 17th.
Yes, 16th and 17th.
Of September,
Wednesday and Thursday night. The 7 to 9 slot is the Power and Love worship team from Pennsylvania, Jeremiah Group. He's bringing his team down, and they're going to lead worship those both nights. And Bob Hazlett is, we felt he was instrumental when the Power and Love School came here. He actually prophesied this whole thing too in existence. And we just felt that the Lord had given him authority on this gathering to release and release a proclamation. So I just feel like he's going to proclaim God's heart, the Spirit of God over this city in those two nights.
Yeah, he was, he'd never been here before. And yeah, he just hears from the Lord, and he didn't know we even had a college. He didn't know it was a UNCW or Cape Fear. Didn't know we have 26,000 students. Yeah. He goes, in a beach town? You got a university? And so he actually stayed at the Marriott in Carolina Beach. And the first night, he had no idea, obviously, but the Lord did. And he just started prophesying about the gathering together in tents and revival and seeing fire. And I said, are you aware of the fire in the Carolinas and the book and the history and the revivalists? And he goes, no. And then I just brought Mike up on the stage, and he just led into prophesying this whole event, dropping a mantle. I mean, it was incredible. And so he said, I need to come back. And so he's the worship band that was with him from Power and Love, they're driving from Pennsylvania. And so anyway, yeah, there's a lot of people making a lot of sacrifices, and I just know – you remember the scripture that says the eyes of the Lord look to and fro in the earth to find himself someone that he can show himself strong in. And at Jeremiah 33:3 is another one. Call to me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things you didn't even know. So we're just, Lord, we're just standing in your word and believing that you're going to do something powerful.
That was awesome. Man, you said man. That Lord was the Lord was showing me a key when you was talking about that. He showed me a key. There's a key there somewhere. But, yeah, I was there at night when he did that. I went to the Power and Love there at your church, and that was very awesome. And
you're talking about keys. You know, there's another local evangelist, Abner Suarez, out of Dunn, that we've ministered to. He's just an amazing guy. He prophesied there are seven keys that are here that are going to unlock some things that are happening. So I'm interested that you're seeing a key, because he had said in conjunction just before Bob Hazlett came, he had given a prophetic word here and over the city that there were going to be seven keys handed out. And so,
yeah, that was cool. And the Lord's always listening all the time. He never stops. But yeah, that's going to be awesome. You got anything else, Chris, you'd like to ask?
Man, I'm just excited to come down there and be a part of it, you know, and just get in that, the worship and the prayer. And I know that it's shifting things over the city and even the nation. And I really believe that the effects will be forthcoming for a long time. You know, I really see God moving strongly on the event, and especially with y'all giving out food and stuff like that. It's amazing, and it just really blesses me to hear that the mayor's interested, or you know, that y'all are trying to get the mayor there. That's incredible, man. That speaks volumes to me just about honoring and trying to go partner with the government and be for the worldly authorities, you know, and get them involved, because I really believe that's the way things are going to happen for the country and for our nation is to get involved and to walk in love and to honor and walk in that honor and just be as much of a blessing as possible. I really believe that's got a lot to do with turning the hearts and attitudes of people. It's just incredible to me. I'm so excited about it.
You're right on there. You know, the kind of some history here. First of all, we know what Romans 13 says, honor those in authority, right? And they get there. We may not always like who gets there, but the Lord allows it, right? And so we had been praying for years that Wilmington would be a city of refuge. And we know what that does, the Bible context of that is, but it would be a safe place. And was it about a year, I think, before we did the march, we got invited, Mike and I, and I think there were about 30 pastors, African-American, Spanish, white. We got invited by the chief of police and the mayor to come to one of the oldest AME Zion churches in North Carolina, in Wilmington. And it's unusual when the mayor and the chief of police said, would you come and pray with us? And so we said, whoa, we're down for that. So we gathered in this AME church. And it was amazing. The chief evangelist, the chief of police evangelist, interesting name, he got up and he read out of 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal your land. And the plea was, pastors, we need your help. We got a number of shootings. There was a bunch of gang violence. There was a lot of stuff going on. And basically, in essence, they're saying, look, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood here. We need you to pray. That was a Friday night. We got together and we all prayed and released from the government officials down that we were standing together. That weekend, if my memory's right, there were 21 different shots fired and different bullets went through houses. No one was injured. And we had this meeting at the chief of police department on that Monday. He gathers, says, "Okay, guys, keep praying, because, man." But in essence, I think I said to them, I said, "You know what we've done, guys, is we've poked the snake, but the snake hadn't been able to bite anybody. We just need to keep praying." Well, you can now advance that. It's been over 2 years. We got it asked. It's one of the practical things you could do is, why don't we go into the project areas where a lot of the drugs and prostitution and let's go there. So there's a pastor here in town. He's an amazing man, Pastor Jameson, James Jameson. He's about 6'7". He's built like a house, and he's also the security for the housing authority in town. So he's the guy in all of the different project areas that they know who he is, but the gangbangers won't shoot him because they have this thing about you don't hurt pastors. And so, anyway, long story short, 2 years, we've been going into the projects once a month. The first Saturday of the month, we gather our youth, our children. We go in, we bring our cookers in, we put the hot dogs on, we put up worship music. We start, the first thing is we prayer march the projects. And we said, well, why don't we do something physical? One of our guys, Neil Blake, said, let's pick up the trash. Some of the first times we'd go in, I'm not exaggerating, we'd have a pile of black bags of trash, and we just pray over it. God, this is a cleanup, but we want you to do it in the Spirit. The last boots on the ground, we were in Houston Moore. It's a place where there has been, right now, the crime rate in those project areas has dropped to the lowest that they've had since keeping records. Now, it's still violence, but it's not there. It's not in those places where we've been putting our feet. Mm. Big old Jameson, he got up there, and he just started weeping. We gathered the trash. There was only a few little bags of trash. The Spirit, the presence, the cleanliness, it was all different. People come out, and they welcome us. They come on over. The music's playing. The kids come out. It's just different. Mm. And he just wept, big alligator tears. This big black pastor said, man, you guys don't know what's happened here. It's amazing what's going on. I'm just so moved by God. So anyway, prayer works. And so there's a history of this going on.
And I'm going to jump in right here. You know, and it's just like what Pastor Tom said, that's why I feel like the time is now to strike with what we're doing. Because the atmosphere has been purged over this city in these last 2 years. It's almost like it's ready to receive what's about to come.
That's
Jesus.
Awesome. Thank you.
Come on.
Amen. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Now, can you tell me the runoff of what's going to happen each day? I mean, the ministers, all that's going to be speaking for the people's listening.
I'll put this plug in there. I have kind of a highlighted schedule posted on our website. It's fireinthecarolinas.org, and you can just hit the Ignite Wilmington tab, and it's kind of got an outline, some photos of the folks and bands coming, and then an outline. But would you want me to run down all the nights, the highlights you said?
Yeah, if you want to.
Okay. Sunday, September 13th is we're going to kick it off at 7 p.m. Again, we'll have free barbecue for everybody there as well. Our youth worship team here at Global Voyage, they're going to launch us out. They're going to worship. We're going to do a citywide communion also as well. And Pastor Fred from Azusa Street will be sharing his heart. Right after him, we're going to begin into the night watch hours, probably around 10, 11 p.m., and go through the night. That'll be different teams will come and do 1 hour, 2 hour sets throughout the night. Going into Monday from midnight to up till noon, different teams will be just taking prayer sets and worship sets. This will all be live worship and prayer. On Monday, noon, same thing, afternoon worship and intercession. 8 p.m. Monday night, we'll do another citywide communion by a young guy named Sean Williams from South Carolina, Warriors International, is coming up. He's going to help lead us in that. We'll go right back into the night hours through the night. Tuesday, September the 15th, kind of the same thing, you know. Morning, we'll do morning worship and prayer. Again, 8 p.m., we'll do a citywide communion. We felt in the beginning God wanted to highlight the communion table. We felt that that was a strategic point for this gathering in Wilmington. So we'll be doing communion nightly, every night. But that's kind of Tuesday night. So those nights are kind of more, you know, worship, prayer, intercession. When we get into Wednesday night, it's kind of the same thing, but something a little different on the schedule. Wednesday at 10 a.m., our church is moving our intercession team and group meeting under the tent there. So we'll have citywide intercession for our city at 10 a.m. that Wednesday. I think it'll be a pretty powerful time. And then, of course, at 7 o'clock, we'll have Bob Hazlett and the Power and Love crew We'll also, again, have them Thursday night. Thursday night, again, kind of the same flow, continual worship and prayer. Thursday night, Bob will share with us, speak over the city. Friday night, we're going to have another guy with us, awesome brother, Nico Peel, young revivalist that's trailblazing the Carolina campuses, colleges, and schools. I was just with him Sunday night in Whiteville, where they gathered 200 high schoolers and middle schoolers, and he had a message of calling them into revival. It was a powerful meeting. And so Nico is an amazing guy. We felt a strong urge for the college students that night, so he's going to be sharing on that Friday night at 7. Saturday, again, from 8 a.m. Saturday morning till 6 p.m., we're going to do a 10-hour intensive intercession set, like Pastor Tom was saying. And so what we're doing is we're taking 10 issues over the city, from religion, arts and entertainment, the armed forces, the local government, and we're dividing those 10 issues into 1-hour slots for the 10 hours. And so we're gathering 3 and 4 city leaders and pastors to pray like 5-7 minute prayers into those things. So it'll be an awesome time. And then we're going to break that intercession intensive with the citywide fish fry, just have dinner together. Awesome. Oh, let me put this plug in. That Saturday night at 7 p.m. when we do the fish dinner, starting at 7 is going to be an amazing worship team. Two of them, well, it's two parts of them. One part of the group is from Boston, the Berklee School of Music, which is like the second to Juilliard. And these are some talented revivalist kids that are just amazing. And they're driving all the way down from Boston to be there that one night. Their other guy that's going to join them is actually a worship leader in Pasadena, California. He also does worship for Lou Engle and Pastor Cheon. And so he's flying out. A guy stepped up and bought his ticket. He's flying out that Saturday night. It's going to be a powerful time. On top of that, Wilmington Hammerheads are having a soccer game in the stadium right next to us with like 1,500 people. So it could be like just an awesome recipe for God to do whatever he wants. Sunday morning, Global River Church, our church, is shutting down our church, and we're moving our church into the tent for 10 a.m. morning service. So we'll actually have our church in the tent that morning. That's going to be amazing. 6 p.m. that Sunday night, we're also going to do a citywide water baptisms. We got a porta baptismal tank that we'll have in there. Lord gave a vision about bringing the three ordinances of the Lord out into the open square, which is water baptism, communion, and foot washing. So we just had a vision and prayer of seeing all these things going on at the same time. So Sunday afternoon around 6 p.m., we're going to shoot for that. Don't know how that'll look like, but we're trusting the Lord. Monday, we roll back into Monday night, same setup, prayer, worship, intercession, different groups. Tuesday and Wednesday night also follow the same pattern. So far, that's kind of what it's kind of looking like. But we're always open to whatever the Lord wants to do.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I want to thank you guys for coming on here and talking about this. I know this show is going to touch a lot of people, and I know, you know, you're going to have a big turnout. I mean, a lot of people have been talking about this event and wanting to come to this event, and I'm sure that the Lord's going to do a lot in their lives, too, just, you know, going to the event. And, you know, y'all are expecting some major things happening, and I'm sure that, you know, Wilmington is going to get really touched that week. It's just amazing to have you guys on here and just talking about this, because I know a lot of people down here in North Carolina where we live have been talking about it too. So a lot of people are going to be coming,
come
guys.
On.
Yeah.
Can we pray for this? I just feel a stirring right now. Lord, I thank you. Everyone that's on the airways, or those who are going to hear it, or those who are going to get the word transferred to them from others, word of mouth or through literature, through connection, through internet. God, I just pray for southeastern North Carolina. I pray for this city, this state, this region. Lord, it belongs to you. We know what our forefathers said. We also know what some of the historians have said about the state, that it's going to be a place that connects with God, that it's a place where you can rest. You can come and you can pour out your spirit, that God would be able to move so powerfully.
Yes.
So, Lord, we ask you to destroy the works of all darkness, every place where the enemy has tried to kill, steal, and destroy. In John 10:10, you said you come to give life in all of its abundance, O God. So, Lord, we thank you, though. Gather the hungry. Gather the needy. Gather those who would come. And you release your spirit in such a powerful way over North Carolina, God. We just give you the event. Let no man glory in any of this, Lord. You receive it all, and we'll be sure you get the praise for it, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's awesome, guys. That's awesome. And like I said, thanks again for coming on and talking about this event. And like I said, you know, not only Wilmington's going to be touched, but I'm sure the whole East Coast going to be touched just from this event, and just bringing the downpouring of the Lord into that city, and just touching that city and renewing that city. And you know, people's already feeling what y'all are doing there already with the prayers and changing the community. And I know with the power and love that I was there with, and some of the things that we saw just going around in the city and praying for people, people was open to prayer, people was open to be touched by the Lord. And there's some cities that's not like that, man. It's kind of unique trying to go and pray for them, but they was open for it, and that the Lord's already opened up the doors for y'all. So that's a big thing when people was welcoming this in their hearts, and I'm sure it's going to touch a lot of people. But there again, thanks, guys, for coming on tonight. Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Mike,
for having us.
It's awesome. So I'd like to say God bless y'all, and God bless everybody that's listening. You know, just, you know, come to this event. The Lord is going to touch you. You're going to see a great awakening here, and it's going to be worth just coming to one of those 10-day events and just partaking of what the Lord is going to give you through these events. And it's going to touch each and every person that comes there and probably change their life, too. So it's going to be amazing. You have anything else you'd like to talk about, Chris?
No, I was just thinking about some 24/7 that says, "Lift up your heads, ye gates, and be lifted up, ye ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in." And I just want to say, leave you with that scripture to everybody that's listening, because we serve a 24/7 God, and that scripture is Psalm 24:7, and
wow.
I think it's all about igniting the world and igniting life with the oneness, like John 17 says, that we be one as Jesus and the Father are one. He wants that oneness in your heart and in your life. And I think that it's just events like this that bring such reality to it, because you are the gates and you are the doors, and he wants to shine his light through you and flood through you and be that life to the darkness in this world, because this world, this nation, Wilmington, it belongs to God. I just say that. And you're the part, you are a part that plays into the fruition, I guess you would say, the fruition of the fulfillment of what
Jesus.
He's doing. So,
awesome,
thank you,
brother.
Lord.
Come on. I love you, Chris.
Love you, guys.
Miss you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
we'll see y'all soon, man. I can't wait.
Come on, buddy.
Yeah,
right.
Y'all have
man.
A
right.
Y'all have a blessed night.
For
life.
Having us. Bless your night.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank
you
for coming on. It's been awesome.
Awesome, man. Have a good night, guys.
Yeah, all right. You too. We'll talk to you some other time. God bless every one of y'all.
All right,
buddy.
Good night. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
I cannot hear your voice. I will run to work. feet. I will lift these hands and praise. I will believe. I remind myself of all that He's done in the life I have because of Your Son.
Your presence, Lord.